once again to the Positive Herpes Podcast, the show where we spread positivity, knowledge, and passion like herpes. So today, I'm super honored to be with this guy. I just met him. I didn't even know you existed like 2 weeks ago. And Jeremiah, we have a lot of mutual friends, and I saw you in front of one of our friends' house, and I gave you and your lady some pictures of mine that I had drawn. And ever since then, we've just been running into each other a little bit more often.
So. Yeah, yeah. It's just the circle of authentic people that are holding space and bringing people together that are also doing dope shit and holding the space of doing dope shit and putting out that energy. We're all just reflections of one another.
I couldn't agree more. But on the topic of holding space, why don't we describe the space we're sitting in? I really love the idea that you had of being here where we are.
Yeah, this is the Martin's property. Rahman Halima Martin owned this 2 acres that we're sitting on right now. We're in a bamboo forest that was planted by their son, Hamid. You can actually check on HamidMartin.com, I believe. He's a ecstatic dance and a rhythm DJ. Does a lot of cool stuff in that movement meditation realm. But this is actually their property. And I'm just super blessed to be here with my lady friend, cultivating my body, getting back to the most fundamental level of just existing in the world without being trodden upon by all the infrastructure that we have. So this is a fantastic place to be.
Absolutely. We're, like Jeremiah said, we're right in the center of this bamboo forest, and we've got a little dappled light, which is my favorite type of lighting. And every once in a while, hopefully you listeners will hear the rustling of the leaves, because it's super tranquil, super relaxing.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't know, the first time where we ran into each other, where we had nothing else to do and we just got to talking.
Yeah.
We had some crazy topics that got brought up.
Yeah.
We were talking about life. We were talking about reflections of humans upon each other. We were talking about somatics. And one thing that you brought up towards the end of, you were just about to walk into the music room at school, one thing you brought up, which I really, really appreciated, was mindfulness.
Yeah.
So, real quick, like, what are some of the benefits of mindfulness?
So, let me take a moment to do a slight detour and explain a little bit about who I am. And why mindfulness is so important. I grew up in Los Angeles County, this place called Whittier, which is in the middle of 4 freeways. It's just like a stereotypical suburbia, class separation, places you do go, places you don't go, every type of person you could think. It's, you know, L.A. It's that kind of movement world. And I got into high school and started messing around with some entheogens, mainly cannabis, which kind of snapped me out of that world, whereas literally I was like 14 or 15, and all of a sudden one day I just like woke up. I was like, what the fuck have I been doing with my life? I don't feel like myself. I feel like I'm an empty shell. I you know, this body, what is this thing? And so I started studying psychology and just reading everything that I could on the Western world, quote unquote, as people know it, what they thought it was to have a mind, and building psychological infrastructure. And I found mindfulness. This is about my junior year of high school, and I would get out of class, school would be over, and I would sit and in the middle of the courtyard and just visualize all the people surrounding me with my eyes closed, listening and trying to picture where everyone was in my head. And as I studied this and implemented this practice, it's like everything kind of slowed down a little bit. I was still super heady. I didn't know this at the time. This is from my perspective looking back now. But still erratic. I hadn't yet fixed my diet. But it all stemmed from mindfulness and paying attention to the body and paying attention to what you're doing. Elsa Gindler is the creator of something called Gymnastic. And her thing is all about working on cultivating focus and cultivating concentration. I feel like that's the best way to explain what mindfulness is cultivating how good you can do something, how well you can be in what you're doing and solely focused on that, but at the same time focused on everything else that's surrounding you. So like I briefly mentioned, started studying, then I fixed my diet, started having Joe Rogan's kale shake recipe every day, started weightlifting a little bit, took a weight training class in college, and my whole life changed. I'd be sitting in class, you know, twitching, just like, oh my God, like I've just been eating green smoothies, not even organic yet. And I'm just like, wow, I feel incredible. People be like, dude, what's wrong? Like, what do you want, man? I'm like, bro, I'm on Joe Rogan. Get on that game, man. You really, these kale shakes. Oh man. Yeah. And so that kind of brought that healthy upregulated state of the nervous system. Cause before that I'd been surviving off of like pizza and just like Mexican food fried in corn oil and soybean oil. I mean, it's Los Angeles. It's so tasty, but just inflammation out the wazoo. So I started moving a little bit, fixing my diet, found the Bulletproof Executive and like learning about inflammation, anti-inflammatory states. And at the same time, I became a personal trainer. I started studying for that because just this movement thing, like what is this? Not even getting fit, quote unquote. I'm with Ido Portal on that. It's like, it's not about fitness and building. Yeah, no, it's about just reclaiming movement complexity.
I was gonna say proper body movement.
Yeah, just movement in general.
Because if you can't move properly, you can't lift properly. And, you can't do anything.
And yeah, you can't do anything properly. You can't exist properly because your psychology inhabits your biology or your physiology. We'll get to that later. But you know, I got certified through the NASM as with corrective exercise and certified personal training. And I, looking back, I wish I'd gone through the Czech Institute. If you guys don't know what the Czech Academy is or who Paul Czech is, just YouTube him, learn from this man. Fantastic resource. He was one of the first people in our society that really like kind of got it on all levels and just brought it to the forefront. It's fantastic, man. So I got certified through the NASM. I moved up here to Santa Cruz, which is where we are now. We're in the Soquel Hills right now. And started working actively as a personal trainer, implementing all the quote-unquote theory, helping people do their thing. And then I got introduced to the world of somatics and all the things that came out of the Monterey Bay and Esalen and Santa Cruz Bay in the 1960s and 70s. And do you know anything about Esalen?
No, what's Esalen?
So Esalen is a self-sustained community on the coastline of Big Sur. And it's on very sacred Native American ground. When you go there, you can just feel the surplus of yin energy. It's just, I literally can't even begin to describe it because it's ineffable. It's incredibly beautiful. They have clothing optional hot springs there on the coastline of the Pacific Ocean, and it's, I leveled up definitely the day that I went there. But back in the day, with Ido Rolf and Alan Watts, spent a lot of time there, and Moshe Feldenkrais, any kind of mind-body connection person that came out of the Human Potential movement really came from there. I'm at a loss for words explaining this place because it takes your breath away when you're there. But they were people who really, at the time, were like, okay, you know, being too intellectual is wrong. We need to pay attention to the body. We need to bridge that mind-body connection. And they expanded really upon the work of Wilhelm Reich, who was one of the first psychiatrists to, like, stop looking at people's problems only through being analytical. And sitting down and continuing to do this, quote-unquote, Western lifestyle of mainly sitting and thinking. Like, oh, we have this problem, let's sit and think about it. Well, everything that was happening at Esalen was like, no, the yogis had it right. The chakra system is just stages in your psychological development. If you optimize the body and start meditating and being aware of what you're doing and seeing how your mind is interconnected with your body, just your whole existence blooms and blossoms. And so the things that I'd been studying, mainly mindfulness and then exercise, were just bridged by this world. And at the same time, I'd been learning from Kelly Starrett and Mobility Wad, literally going through each of his videos and his videos on the CrossFit Journal. And if you guys don't know who Kelly Starrett is, he owns Mobility Wad, owner of San Francisco CrossFit. Just total badass, really brought foam rolling and soft tissue maintenance to the forefront. And I'd be putting people in these good mechanical positions and at the same time be thinking about, you know, holding space and these concepts. And we'll explain what that is in a minute. And when you put the body in proper alignment, suddenly the life force that is you is able to kind of snap out of this character armor, this conditioning, this ego structure. There's so many names we can get into it, but people would start shaking and they'd start having cathartic releases.
Oh, wow.
And they'd start crying. Or I could feel rage coming out of them. And they'd go, dude, I don't know what you're doing right now, but there's just anger flooding out of me. And it's because the stress chemistry that we experience, what is it, a cortisol, ephedrine, or not ephedrine, that comes from ephedra, cortisol, adrenaline, norepinephrine, that can get locked inside of calcified tissue. And postural patterns can be known as character armoring, meaning, and you can look at a number of TED Talks and they'll talk about how your posture is going to reflect how you're thinking about yourself. Well, this is like the roots of that. And looking at people in these postural states, well, you get them in a proper alignment and then all of this pain can be dealt with, this unconscious pain. Because when you do soft tissue work on someone and go after those calcified adhesions or knots, they're going to be like, oh, this hurts. Man, that hurts. You sure you're not pressing bone or nerve or some gland? It's like, nah, bro, you're just in pain. That pain is always there. I'm not the one hurting you. I'm bringing it to your attention.
That's just locked in.
But it's just locked in there. And there's a great interview with Daniel Vitalis and Scott Sonnen on the Rewild Yourself podcast. They go into that a little bit more. There's a book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, talking about stress chemistry.
I saw that book in your room.
Yeah.
And is that along the lines, I heard this, like most animals, when they experience trauma, they'll shake it out because they don't want that to be...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. TRE, trauma release exercise. Dr. David Burselli, Stephen Burselli, I can't think of his name, but it's huge around here. Pretty much all it is you relax your personal information, your ego hold on your body, and then you let your body start shaking. You guys can hear me. I'm kind of shaking a little bit. To some people, if you're laying on the floor, they're going to be like, you having a seizure, bro? And it's like, no, I'm just letting my autonomic nervous system express stress chemistry. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Just YouTube search TRE or trauma release exercises and watch some of these videos of people just... I'm telling you, it looks like they're having a seizure, but they're expressing stress chemistry.
Sometimes I like to just lay on the floor.
Yeah.
And I don't do like the super, like lots of shakes, but I'll just roll around and sometimes I'll like throw one arm one way.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it just feels good to do that right now. Oh, I'm going to half turn to my left. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a leg over here.
Same thing. It's the same thing. And the people from the somatics world, they use dance. What is it called? It's either inner rhythm or... I really can't think of the word, but pretty much you close your eyes and you have one person or a group of people observing you and you're the dancer. So now you just move, dance, just move around. And people are like, well, how do I do that? Well, we can't tell you how to move. You just have to start moving around. And what people start doing is how their subconscious mind is viewing them. What needs to be expressed? What are you thinking about?
Hmm.
And just in my experience, having gone through a somatics class where they kind of touched on all these different therapies, it's like you... tell people what you thought you saw, how they were moving, and they're like, yeah, that's kind of describes how I work, you know, that's just the way that I'm doing. I can't think of the name though, but it's just letting your body move, letting yourself being moved and letting yourself relax, because people want to retain such a hold. But yeah, up until now, and that was like 2 years ago that I got introduced to somatics, it's all about working with people and not just seeing them for how they dress or, you know, what they look like, how they want to be seen, but you look in their eyes and you look at the entity that is driving the vehicle of the body. You know, who is that person that's doing all these things? You speak to them. You only speak to the light, because I'm a very firm believer that by living out of your highest self, you will pull it out of others, especially when they're in your heart field or they're in your space. And so by dealing with the body, optimizing the physiology, all of a sudden you can begin to deal with all of these psychological problems, quote unquote. You get people in proper alignment, eating properly, having a movement practice, and all of these problems go away. They just, you know, they seem to dissipate. Because someone could be stressed out and, oh, I feel so stressed out all the time, I don't know what it is, but you're living in a thoracic outlet. You're living in internal rotation. Because it's a podcast, you can't see me, but I'm internally rotating my shoulders right now and dropping my head. I'm all
super slumped over, almost as if he had been working at a typewriter or a computer all day.
Exactly. And your head weighs 10 to 12 pounds. For every inch forward your head goes, it's going to add 10 pounds. So you have a 42-pound head on your shoulders, and you're wondering why you're stressed out. Well, take a look at the way that you're doing you. That's what somatics is about. It's about going in there, cracking the ice, and be like, hey, you've been doing it this one way, but we can integrate all these other principles and then watch what happens. Watch what gets freed up.
So you work with people, you have clients.
Yeah, I do.
And so would you say that you, is there any one thing you do, or do you have different practices? Like, because it made the, basically, for, the impression I got is you're just basically a life coach on steroids.
Yeah.
A steroid, like, not anabolic steroids, not like physically on steroids, but like a beefed up life coach.
Well, you could understand me as a holistic health practitioner. I prefer the name somatic architect.
Okay.
Because it's much more than like, you know, this is what your life is. No, we start with optimizing your physiology. We get you in adaptation mode because your body's an adaptation machine. We train for high-level athletics, but at the same time, we cultivate your meditative practice so that you can downregulate your nervous system at will. You can be in an extremely upregulated state, really excited, and still function and maintain control of yourself. And you give yourself this baseline level of operation. And then you have to begin expressing yourself. And all I'm doing right now is moving through the chakra system. Like I said, the chakras are just stages in your psychological development. So what I was just talking about was first, second, and third, which is all physical movement, having willpower, being able to do things. But when you start expressing yourself, so fourth chakra, having love, the ability to pour your heart out, you need to have a time when you're not analytical, when you're simply being creative, you're pouring your heart out, like I said. And this in turn works with the second chakra, which is sweetness. This has been one for me. So how things come out of you. Because you can sit and be a painter and just throw the paint all over the canvas, which is great if you're being sensual about it. But you don't want to be hyper-aggressive. So I've been working with the people that I work with and with the album that I'm working on right now. It's trying to be very sweet and trying to have it flow through me in such a way that when you're in my space that you just feel passion. It's an aching, a longing for life. And that's, you know, my heart working with my passion. And then we have the fifth chakra, which is, do you feel heard? And can you communicate yourself properly? And the breathing exercise is associated with the throat and really breathing deeply. So I'll take a deep breath. Because again, the yogis had it right. Breathing that good-ass prana. Be energized. And then we move up to the sixth chakra, which is your education. You know, are you educating yourself, pulling things into your mind that are resourceful for your existence? Because you can learn a million things. I mean, we have access to the cumulative archive of human knowledge, the internet. And there's an incredible plethora of resources there for becoming a certified badass. But there's also an incredible amount of noise, just white noise. And you can really easily get sucked into that. So how are you using your ability to be all-seeing, right? The third eye, be able to perceive. But then Ajna is also to command reality. So how powerful is your mentality? What do you think about yourself? What is your relationship to yourself? Because your relationship to yourself is your relationship to the world.
It's true.
Yeah, what is your psychological infrastructure? And I'll expand upon these things later. But by having a powerful physiology that you are in control of, you're maintaining mental level zero, as I like to call it, which is OM. You know that OM. Mental level zero. So you're not upregulated, you're not downregulated, but your body knows what it's capable of. You are in your power. You have a relationship to yourself. You're pouring your heart out. You're also receiving love. You can speak with passion, with clarity, and you know yourself. And then you ask the question, why are you here? What is your universal identity? Why are you here? Are you just a product of a few million years, billion years of evolution? You know, just survival of the fittest? Or are you here on assignment from the universe to breathe life into people, to give them that fire, to show them what it means to live authentically and powerfully and to rewild yourself and take back what it means for you to be existing? Or do you not understand what that means? But what I just said with breathing fire into someone, you breathe it into them and then they breathe it into other people.
I'm going to interrupt real quick.
No, it's okay. I get really intense when
I'm really glad you brought that up, because that actually was one of my questions, is why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
And also, just real quick, I heard this thing, and I'm sure you're familiar with the Onnit Academy. Aubrey Marcus, he does the Onnit website, and
they make Alpha Brain, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they, I was listening to some of their trainers, and they have this new program that, it's not that new, but it's new to me.
Yeah.
Which is the what is it, the APE program, or the ABC, what was it? I want to say ABC. And it's APE, Beast, Crocodile. And whoa, they get you to do all these different body movements through the ABCs.
Nice.
So you'll be like crawling on your hands and your feet, it's like a crocodile, or you'll be doing some things that beasts would do, or that apes would do, like hanging, like you've been talking about hanging.
Associates in my mind with Hidro Portal and the movement culture, because they're all about those kind of primal movements. You can see a lot of Ito's locomotion research videos on YouTube about him crawling on the floor and transitioning out of that. So yeah, that's all baseline stuff. Before I even get people lifting heavy things, you have to be able to hang. You're a great ape. You should be able to hang indefinitely. You should be able to squat with your feet together and hang out down there, because that's how you're designed to poop. But when you spend time sitting at this nice 90-degree angle at a chair, you lose your ability to be in your power. Your hips are your power center. That's where it's
and 90-degree angles from. Are actually, like, one of the weakest structures in nature.
Really?
Circles are the strongest structure in nature.
We're
surrounded by a bunch of circle drawings right now.
Yeah, some crazy fractal geometry and then circular geometry, and then we got this...
So before we move on, I did interrupt. Plankton. You were talking about chakras, so let's get on to the seventh.
The seventh chakra.
I cut you off right too soon.
Oh, I mean, I pretty much touched on it. We try not to get too metaphysical, because when you start talking about your universal identity, people are like, oh, fabric of reality, man. Like, oh, it's like, no. You are here in physiology, and if you know what it is, you can tell yourself with clarity what you are, why you're here. There's a tremendous amount of power there. Like, be here now.
Right.
Like, that's thrown around, and there's so much power there, but it's like, this comes from the song Infinity. It's the second song off of my upcoming album, Aeonic Ovations.
What is it? Aeonic?
Aeonic Ovations.
Ovations.
Yeah, so I am a soul. I am a soul. I am unbounded complexity. I am an eternal entity, slowly forging eternity within the arcs of creative energy that I inhabit as a man on his path, so you can understand the elements of existence that we must deal with within this physical limitation. Space is a wonderful place to ask yourself, who could I be? And what is within the depths of me? And how am I standing here with this ability to comprehend space-time reality? Well, good questions. Are the inception of the positive momentum that will help spread our blessing throughout every inch of manifested existence. So stay persistent with the love you were given.
Oh, man.
So, to speak briefly about myself and my universal identity and why I am here, you can see this this fractal, I believe it's tetrahedral fractal geometry. And it's, if you guys know what a fractal is, it's a never-ending repeating thing of infinite complexity.
You can take it's based on the golden mean.
Yeah.
And also you can take any segment of a fractal, and in that segment carries the code to create the entire fractal.
Yeah, perfect. So in the way that I've been understanding reality, and it's not like me, like, I've got it figured out. Yes, I've figured out what reality is. It's more like I've been slowly coming back into my power. And again, what is my relationship to myself? How do I perceive reality? How does it feel to me? But I love this Native American... It's a great story. This Native American was talking with this anthropologist. I don't remember what tribe, but I heard this in my Indigenous Peoples class I took last semester. And the Indigenous person was talking about how they saw reality, how it's a turtle island. Mm-hmm. And so the anthropologist was like, well, what's underneath that turtle? And they were like, oh, it's another turtle. And the anthropologist was like, well, what's underneath that? And it's like, it's another turtle. And he's like, well, how can it be another turtle? He's like, you silly anthropologist, this turtle's all the way down. And as far as I am able to comprehend reality, it's literally a fractal. It's just infinite complexity, just going up and going down. And, I mean, we're floating light at the most fundamental level. And I in no way can view anyone or anything as just this talking meat sack, this complicated jellyfish. When I look in people's eyes and I see stillness, and I can feel their heart field, the voltage running through their bodies, and perceive them as another conscious entity on this planet, it's like we're all these souls, we're all these powerful, powerful beings that are our creator gods, as some texts that I read refer to us as. We have this ability to be creative and express ourselves. And the greater that you view yourself, the better way that you can express yourself to others, create things that will inspire people. And when people are inspired, they inspire other people. And it's just the positive momentum. That's what I was talking about. That just spreads. It spreads. When you're in the vicinity of someone who has a very depressed view of themselves, a high internal gravity, as I like to call it, they have unfulfilled desires and not eating right, you can feel it.
Oh, you can totally feel it. You can feel it. I don't want to name names, but there's people that would walk in the room.
Yeah.
And I might not have heard them, but I could feel a shift. And then as soon as, I don't know, like, and it's tough too, because it's like, you want to help some people, mm-hmm. but it's also just tough to be around certain people.
Yes. Yes. And that that kind of tangent a little bit, that's been a huge goal of mine, is to be around people like that who have high internal gravities and pull out the higher self out of them. Mm-hmm. Only speak to light. I don't care that you're trying to drain my energy. It doesn't affect me. There's an unlimited amount of energy. The universe is energy. I don't hoard it. But I've had the intention of living the authentic path. That is what I do here. I am here to be myself and work with other people to get them to learn what it is for them to be themselves. And seeing that process and having worked with people that are younger than me all the way to older than my parents and watching that transformative process is the most beautiful thing in the world, because I get to be love's voice. I get to be a channel for the elements of existence, like I said. I get to pull it out of people because they got pulled out of me. And once you start walking that path, it's impossible not to let it be pulled out of you. You surrender into the infinite bliss consciousness, as the Hindus call it, Sat Chit Ananda. It's literally what that means. There was something I was going to tangent on, but I totally lost track for a second.
No worries, no worries.
I was secondly going to, but it had something to do with myself.
Fractals.
Now, I kind of explained that. It's okay. We'll come back.
Microbiology.
Around. Microbiology.
We also got this other book that's got all these microscopic organisms.
Yeah, plankton. And it's like literally this picture. What is it? Two kinds of radiolarins. I can't pronounce what this is, but it literally looks like a universe a universe. That's what I see right there. I mean, yeah, it could be a galaxy. It was like you look at these tiny little cells and you just see what's above us. It's literally just keeps going.
There's this episode of, I don't watch, like I told you earlier, but a long time ago I saw this episode of Adventure Time. I think it's like one or two seasons in, but the main character puts on these glasses and the glasses make people smart. And as soon as he puts the glasses on, the camera zooms in to his forehead, and it dives in between the individual cells, and then it goes into a cell, and then it goes into, like, the mitochondria. And then it just keeps zooming into this guy's forehead, and then eventually you notice, and then it goes into, like, the atoms and the molecules and the atoms and the proteins, and then it keeps zooming in, and then there's so much space, because there is a lot of space in between the electrons and the nucleus, and then you realize it's not even zooming into his forehead anymore. You're in space, and you're out in all these tiny, tiny pieces. Tiny particles, which are also, at the same time, gigantic bodies of living things. Uh-huh. And then you're still zooming back in, and you see all these, like, universes and galaxies fly by, and then you zoom, 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 and then you see, oh, shit, that's Earth.
Turtles all the way down.
We're zooming back into Earth, and it zooms back into the main character, Finn, and he says, I understand everything now. Everything big is exactly, or everything big is the same as everything small.
Yeah, it's literally like at the end of Men in Black when they open the door.
And they're playing marbles with the galaxies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like somehow this is... somehow reality is. Somehow I'm sitting here and I can be mindful of all the things that are happening, and I can meditate and hang upside down in trees and Olympic weightlift and make bass music and have sex and do all these fantastic things. Somehow it's there. And that's always running in the back of my head. I realized where I was going, holding space. I was going to talk about that for a second. And when you're continuously in that state of awe, gratitude, just Sat Chit Ananda, eternal bliss, because somehow this is, it's really hard to allow yourself to be depressed. It's really, it's actually quite impossible because you're polarized. You're the exact opposite. A quick story. I was in Capitola Village walking downtown. It's a gorgeous little beach town. And this old man was talking to his wife and gets angry. Why would you ask me if something was wrong? Literally starts yelling right next to me. I just start laughing. I just busted up laughing. It just happened. And I'm like, dude, calm down. I don't even think he heard me though, because there's so much distance between our consciousnesses. But it happens. I'm polarized to be good vibes because I've been there. I've been through the ringer. I know what it's like to not feel like myself. I know what it's like to inhabit entropy in my mind. And I'm not about that. But as far as holding space, I want to explain that real quick. Your heart is putting out a giant electromagnetic field. Wherever there's a voltage, there's going to be a magnetic field. And the brain is putting one out too, but the heart's also putting one out as well. And it's much bigger than the brain's. So whenever you're in the vicinity of someone and you can feel whether they're being an energy drain on you or they're giving you energy, This is always happening. Everything is an energetic exchange. But when you're in the presence of someone who's very grounded in their sense of reality and very grounded with what feels good and very centered in infinite trust in the process and themselves, you will know it. They're usually therapists or they're like me. And at the same time, if I have the quote-unquote dominant sense of reality, meaning I'm putting out the most energy, I can hold people in my space. And they will be empowered by me. Anyone can do this. It's literally, unless you're talking with two very quote-unquote enlightened people, it'll be 50-50. But for the most part, someone is either giving more energy and receiving it, or the other way around. And when you have what I call psychological infrastructure running the back of your head, so your universal identity, your self-affirmations, your values, all of these good things, you will just have these wonderful harmonics come out of people, and they will pull it out of you. People all the time hang out with me and my lady friend, and they're like, I don't know why I feel so comfortable around you. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I've said stuff that I would never say around my close friends. Well, it's like we're holding space. It's in my intention.
We're allowing you to be you.
Yeah, be you, because I'm holding the same space for myself. I want to be empowered. I want to have motivation. I want to be disciplined. And so, like, hang out with me if you're the same. There's a song I have called The Future, which is not on the album, but it goes, if you feel these rhythms, let me know, because the fire in your eyes just feeds into mine. Together we'll create an entity with its own mind, energy field, and physical function to chill any and all who watch it. So it's like, and this kind of gets more into my identity as well, is why I make music, is because when I'm playing music very loudly and there's bass and you're grooving with it, you're in my space. Wherever you can hear it, especially if you're up close to the subs, because that's what it's all about, you're feeding off of my energy. People listen to music because it affirms their sense of reality. It's, you find the energy of a certain song, you play it over and over and over again. Same thing with me, same thing with everyone.
That's true, and I actually have dumped a lot of my old music because, I mean, it's good to do overhauls every once in a while, but you have to know why you're doing it too. And when you really realize why you don't like a song anymore, it's not just because the beat or because it's not popular anymore, but when you realize that you just literally on a basic level don't resonate with that what their message is anymore.
Yeah.
It's great to be able to just be like, thank you, old part of me.
Yeah, and that's so true, because music can be sticky. You can listen to it and be like, oh, I love this song. It just sounds, that's literally the term that producers use, is sticky music. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can love it, but if like what you're affirming to yourself, so the things that you're being told and then you're saying it back, you're singing along to the song, if it's not of the utmost caliber, don't listen to that. Your words are magic. You take for granted the ability you have to communicate and exist in the first place, and you're being brainwashed by someone else.
One thing I really like to tell people is thoughts have gravity.
Thoughts are things.
Thoughts are things. Yeah. They're actual things.
Yeah.
You know what has more gravity than thoughts? Mm. Your voice.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that has more gravity than your voice is your actions. Mm. So, I mean, if you're singing along to a song, especially over and over again, you're just throwing out gravity to that song's lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I don't even know how to convey how important it is what we're saying right now to people who are listening. But again, your thoughts are things. You are a thing. Everything that stems from you exists. It's like, it's so like, well, yeah, of course, bro. Like, I'm like, no. Use yourself wisely. Use yourself very wisely. And this is so awesome because I just got to go see Nako and Medicine for the People play up in San Francisco. Do you know about Nako and Medicine for the People? Oh, man. Such a medicine man here spreading just dope shit. And it's like, once my lady friend introduced me to them, it's like so much of my music I just dropped. Because here's a dude, and let's see, Aloha Keakua, the part of the verses, I am a miracle made up of particles, and in this existence I'll stay persistent and I'll make a difference because I will have lived it. Aloha, aloha Keakua, aloha, aloha Keakua Kuleaina, which just means like God is good. And then another one, I've really been singing it out here in the forest just at night, and when I wake up, it's at the top of my lungs, which is from the west to the east, to the north to the south. Grandfather, I call upon you. We need your guidance. And then I changed it. I breathe your guidance now. And grandmother, I call upon you. I breathe your presence now. And to me, because we're all just energy, we're all floating light, you can't begin to explain what is consciousness. It's this age-old topic of, well, what is it to be existing? And I'm a very firm believer, and I have a very, very firm understanding that we're not, quote-unquote, alone here. I'm not talking about, like, ETs, extraterrestrials, and all this thing. But, I mean, this universe has been around for a very, very long time. And all the bamboo that we're sitting around is alive. All the plants in the garden is alive. This whole universe is alive. Everything is energy.
That's actually, I didn't write it down, but it was actually something I might have wanted to talk about, is low-key dimension topics. Like, like we are here. We're living apes moving around.
Yeah.
These plants and these minerals have been around much longer than we have.
Yeah.
And we're all vibrating on certain frequencies.
Yeah.
But what about frequencies vibrating higher than us?
Yeah.
Those things are here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, to kind of pull back. It's like we don't know. We can't perceive all the overtones. We live in this very set range of the electromagnetic spectrum. And it's like I feel viscerally in my body. The logical mind can't comprehend this. Your logical mind can analyze your feelings. But when you're sitting out in the forest and you are calling upon the spirit of existence, prime creator, if you so wish to call him into your presence, you, or at least I have, most people that I've conversed with say that you can feel the attention. And it's like everything that's coming out of your mouth, have it be of the utmost quality. I'm calling in the grandmother of the earth, the grandfather of the earth. To some people, they'd be like, what are you talking about, bro?
Sounds so woo-woo, yeah, hippy-dippy.
It's so woo-woo. It's like, well, no, everything on this planet is alive. You think we have it all figured out because we can leave the atmosphere and we have computers? We're at the forefront of our collective evolution as a species. But there, I mean, it kind of goes to crop circles. We were talking about this earlier and how I'm so obsessed with geometry. And there's a Pleiadians book right here next to us. I just found
it. So real quick, yeah, the Pleiadians, I know what they are. What are the Pleiadians?
They're a collective consciousness. The people say, well, ETs. I was like, no, they are what we're talking about, a vibrating frequency of consciousness, if you could say that. And the reason why I started reading this is because I had the book Path of Empowerment. This is Bringers of the Dawn. And they were saying stuff that I tell my clients, like as far as like colon cleansing stuff and fasting and having a stretched out spine and meditating and being mindful. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to read this. But in here, they're like, well, try and explain crop circles. Geometry is a highly evolved life form. And I'm like, what? I can't even comprehend that yet. I'm still trying to do a backflip. What do you mean? What do you mean I can dematerialize? Oh, maybe Babaji was actually doing that. I don't know. I'm just here in the now, making bass music. Oh my gosh. So you kind of see what I'm trying to explain here. It's like all these really crazy metaphysical things we're talking about, and I'm staying grounded, just kind of like looking at it and integrating things little by little, so that when you pull it out of people, they're not just like, whoa, bro, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm a scientist, man. I came from that world. I try to understand things logically and analytically. But when I feel suddenly super energized because I just called into presence the caretaker of the earth, I can't explain that. Other than there's this energy, this movement inside of me that isn't coming from my own metabolic activity.
Mm.
And I, you know, that's the best way that I can explain it.
I haven't been doing what you said, which is like calling in the spirits and the grandmother, grandfather, earth. I haven't been doing that, but I feel that there's definitely times I've felt the presence anyway, because most people who have gone like on real camping trips or gone on real hikes, where you're not just out of the back of your car, like you carry your stuff in, you go hike for a good couple miles, you get this insane amount of energy and strength, and you're like, I didn't even eat that much today. Like, you know, like calorically, this isn't where this energy is coming from. And you feel like you can just climb a mountain for days. And you get there and you're like, that was awesome.
Yeah. The one place where I find my nervous system really gets overwhelmed is in the forest at night. And like right here, I'm on my property. So, you know, all the entities here in the garden, I mean, they're all here, you know, I have a relationship with the plants, thankfully I can cultivate that, but it's like if I go out a couple minutes in any direction into like the real sticks of the Santa Cruz Mountains, especially at night, it's like, because you can't see anything, you only have your perception, and you're just like, oh my gosh, there's just so much activity around here, this whole forest is alive, there's animals out here, I could be seen. And this is actually one of my favorite things to talk about with people, because it's like every hunter-gatherer society on the planet relies on their ability to feel into the environment to find what they're doing. And it's only in our society where we're too analytical and too heady trying to logically reason with anything. You can't feel with your thoughts. You can't feel with your thoughts. You cannot feel with your thoughts. You feel with your feelings. You feel with your body. And if you're taking the world on head first, you have floating head with hands and feet syndrome.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, okay, so I call floating head with hands and feet syndrome what happens to anyone who spends way too much time sitting. You're disconnected from your hips, your power center, like I talked about earlier. But literally, there are postural distortions that where your head is in front of your body. Literally, you're taking the world on head first. You're trying to analyze everything, think about everything. And it's once you pull your head back over your spine by releasing the stress chemistry and the tight, soft tissues, which you can defragment yourself, put some attention on your body, on your breath, on your thoughts, on your words, on the energy you're putting out, so that you're balanced, and then your perception turned on. That's what happened to me when I started, when I moved up here. I took a somatics class over at Cabrillo, started foam rolling, and I would walk out of this space where you're designed to pay attention to your body, and I could just, I could feel the fear in the air. This planet is being run by fear. And I was just like, what the fuck is that? I literally still have like my audio recording, my notes. It's funny. I sound different because I'm this kid from LA that just moved up here entirely heady, and he can feel his body for the first time. And I'm like, what is that thing in the air? I can't quite tell what it is, but it's that there's like two grandmaster frequencies out there. It's fear and love.
You have this on audio recording?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I gotta listen to this some other time.
Oh yeah, no, I'll pull it up on my computer.
All right,
it's fucking hilarious. But yeah, I feel like that really kind of explains that.
Oh, for sure, and that's totally a thing. And like, some of our friends who we were mentioning earlier, like you can walk into their abodes, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. It's so pleasant just to be here.
Yeah.
And then you can walk into some other people's houses, and you're like, get me the fuck out.
You're in now. Their space.
They are so fearful.
Oh, there was a Bulletproof podcast we were talking about, I've mentioned to you, how having sacred geometry in environments harmonizes the energy in the environment. And when I heard this, I was just like, this is a Bulletproof podcast? What am I listening to? And it's so fascinating to read. You can tell the dude who studies this stuff, he's just like on one. You can't understand everything he understands. But he was talking about how they're raising 3 farms with like 50,000 chickens and no hormones or antibiotics or anything. And the reason they can do it is because they have these sacred geometric symbols that they've designed with intention all over the place. So we talk about how geometry is an entity of its own, quote unquote. And it's like, well, that this might be like the theory we're talking about.
I want to share something with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I gave a talk at the event that you were at.
Yeah.
Not that day, but I gave it a talk about Earthships.
Mm.
And one thing I mentioned is, and they are my listeners who have listened, they know about Earthships. So one thing I really want to do is I want to get a community. I want to get a plot very much like this plot. But what I want to do with the Earthships is have basically a main building. Everyone has their own separate buildings. Sacred geometry, the layout of the buildings. So the buildings themselves are in sacred geometrical format, and then the gardens will be on their own sacred geometrical format, and they'll be each their own format, and then they'll be combined a format.
That's so badass. Literally, I was thinking the exact same thing, because I know in the future, like where I'm inhabiting, I literally have been looking at the Earthship academies in New Mexico.
Yes.
I've really been curious in the about their stuff. But it's like the land that I want to live on, it has to be like that. It has to be coherent. And I mean, I love all the things that the 21st century has brought to us. But it's like, look at all the old Native American societies. And I'm talking about before they all got decimated or just slaughtered. I'm talking about the ones that they abandoned. Like they had these crazy cities in the Southwest Desert. I can't think of what it's called. But they're like these giant cities that they just all walked out and abandoned because they didn't work. And this society that we're all doing is not working anymore.
Mm.
And so this is the transition period right now. And the people who are doing, like your listeners, the Bulletproof guys, they're all over it.
This is the age of Aquarius, and that's washing away all the old shit, all the old paradigms. Yeah. It really literally is a change of the washing away. It's change.
Oh, what is it? I can Nako, says this. As the ship slowly sinks, I've been commanded to sink. And it's kind of like, I see myself on that same path. But where we're going to, people need to be inhabiting coherent places, because the environments that you inhabit, you're talking about some places you go, you're like, wow, this is awesome. Some places you go, you're like, damn, this sucks. It's going to rub off on you. Life rubs off on you. It's going to take places, your psychological infrastructure, how you view a place where you're inhabiting. This is what you deem is okay. This is how you organize yourself. One reason why I love sacred geometry so much is because it's something so perfect that you can meditate on. It imprints itself in your mind. And so it comes through, out of you. It's a part of your psychological infrastructure. It's just who you are. You become more coherent. And that's what it's all about, is building coherency and congruency.
I draw this stuff. And the more I draw it, I close my eyes and I can see it.
Yeah.
And I'm sober right now and I can see fractals in the inside of my eyelids.
Hell yeah. Dude, this Bringers of the Dawn book, they talk all about bringing light to the earth. And as I'm reading this stuff and my body is just like supercharged, I'm just like, okay, what the hell? My meditation now is...
You've become a portal.
Yeah, you're literally that. But it's like, and it's going to be my album cover too. It's the earth with the flower of life grid surrounding it and encasing it. And now when I look up in the sky, at first I could see all the little, they're called Purkinje fibers in your eyes, all these little molecules you can see. I just see a flower of life grid now when I look up. It's very faint, but it's literally superimposed itself on my consciousness. And it's like, somehow this thing is, N=1. Your life is an experiment. Somehow this is happening. Don't be too analytical about it. Release your hold and really amazing things can happen.
Wow.
Really amazing.
What are they called?
Purkinje fibers.
Purkinje fibers.
It's the fibers that allow voltage to move through you, but they're in your eyes. Okay. And there's actually a Wikipedia article on what I'm talking about, and I can show that to you.
Sure.
Yeah, it's super trippy.
Cool, man. Oh, man. So many awesome topics.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out. I was just doing some sun gazing right now. It's not really the time of day, but... It's never the wrong time of day either.
Yeah, well, here's another thing that really caught my eye about these Pleiadian books is they say the sun is sending us information through light. Light is information itself, and that you should close your eyes and look at the sun. And I've been doing this for a while. I have my clients do it where close your eyes and look at the sun. Don't do it for too long if you feel like your eyes can't handle it, but get your eyeballs to stop twitching, and then just look at that image you see behind your eyeballs. And what my theory was is your eye is connected directly to your brain via the ocular nerve. And so if you energize the blood plasma of your eyes, you're literally energizing the blood plasma of your brain. And I'm just like, well, I don't know what this can do, but I feel like I've just deeply meditated every time I do this. So I'm going to keep doing it. And then I read this channeled book by these interdimensional entities. And they're like, oh, yeah, do that so the sun can send you multidimensional information and you can help evolve our species into its next, or your species into its next stage of evolution. And I'm just like, what? What is going on here?
Yeah.
The turtles all the way down. The fractal keeps expanding.
And contracting. It works both ways.
Contracting.
How's that saying go? If you stare long enough into the abyss will stare back at you.
Oh, yeah. I can feel the planet in existence staring back at me now. It's fantastic.
I feel like you and I may at some point be like, are you familiar with Doctor Who?
Kind of. I've seen like one episode a long time
ago. Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal, but one of his famous quotes is, I can feel the earth move.
Oh, I love it. Literally, I noticed this the other night. I've become really still and really mindful. I see masculine polarity as stillness. How still can my consciousness be, even in the midst of intense energy and movement? And like, I'll sit up here at night and like, I can watch the stars moving now and see the earth turning. I'm like, I don't think I've ever been able to do that.
I was actually up at the rocks the other day. We were talking about, I was up at the moon rocks. I sat out there for 5 hours and literally just had a fixed focal point and just watched.
That's intense.
It was gnarly. That's intense. I did it in memory of someone, but it was a really awesome night.
I love it. Yeah.
We got to go up there.
I would love to. You can actually see the Milky Way here.
I know.
At night.
That's one thing I love about this area. So I used to live in Livermore. It's like the east of the Bay Area. And there's a good amount of stars out there. But you come out here to the coast and you go away from some of the lights. But near the coast, you can see the arm of the Milky Way galaxy.
It's beautiful. Just
thousands of stars.
Beautiful.
Gnarly.
So grounding. So much gratitude. So much appreciation for that beauty. That is us. So we're all
hurtling together.
Yeah, hurtling together. I really like that.
In our meat bodies, stuck to a rock, drifting aimlessly through space.
Maybe not even stuck. I mean,
well, we're not stuck, but we're on. We're at least on it.
Yeah. This quote unquote physical limitation. I mentioned earlier about Babaji, which is apparently this like eternal yogi who can dematerialize and rematerialize. And when I first moved up here, the first night I stayed at this woman's house, I 2 years later, I went back and met with her. She was telling about her friend who, like, apparently Babaji appeared to her in a movie theater and, like, materialized inside of her. It was, like, in her thoughts. And I'm like, what am I reading? And then I'm reading this Pleiadian book, and they're talking about this changing the vibrationary rate of your body and going into the cities of light. And I'm just like, what?
I had a spiritual teacher once, and we were talking about, we bounced ideas off of each other all the time. And one idea I brought up was, I want to learn to teleport. I want to learn to do this. And him and I were thinking about it. We probably spent 2 weeks thinking about teleporting.
Yeah.
And we came to the conclusion that, first of all, your cells have to vibrate at a super high frequency.
Super, yeah.
The other thing is every cell of your being has to agree on...
coherence.
On
be congruent
where you're going to be.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, if I wanted to be 1 foot over there, every cell of my body had to vibrate at a high enough frequency and decide that it wanted to be 1 foot over there in perfect congruency.
This actually brings me to a huge part of my universal identity, which is, how do we get the whole world to come to a standstill? How do we get the entire planet to be like, okay, whoa, fuck, guys. Like, we get
Superman to run in the opposite direction.
Yeah, we do that. It has to be for love, yeah. Or yeah. Someone learns how to, like, teleport. And obviously, like, everyone couldn't do, like, these crazy things because you can't give a child a shotgun and expect them not to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't want to make that assumption, put energy towards that probable reality. But I'm like, N equals one. Like, this existence thing is. I'm not going to teleport yet because I can't even do a backflip, you know?
Yeah.
But I really don't know what this fabric of reality is. And it's really, really trippy to be existing right now. And I have these channeled texts that are telling me to keep thinking bigger, not to limit my beliefs, because even a tiny limiting belief will keep you from who you really are. And this has just been, like, past few months stuff. Like, really past month, I've been, like, sitting and meditating. Like, how seriously do you take yourself? You know, what's happening here?
The fact that I can look at you and you can look at me and you can form... you can say something and I can understand what you mean by that. That's a miracle. It's the fact that there's a fact that I can go on the freeway right now and not get hit or hit any of the other cars on the freeway. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
The fact that I wake up every single morning is a miracle. Like, it's just so radical that anything is.
I am a miracle made up of particles or floating light. But that's always in my head. Is getting people to slow down and not be too self-absorbed. Because you have to be selfish enough about yourself to want to better yourself and to live in a state of well-being. But at the same time, to some people, they'd be grandiose or woo-woo or hippy-dippy, whatever. I don't care. I'm just here to be happy and to take existence to its highest potential as possible. But at the same time, be very grounded and very mindful, very in the here and now. And, you know, not go off.
Oh, it's great to be able to think about things and talk about things the way we have been. But there are people who do lose their sense of, like, I'm here. You know, I do embody a physical presence.
Yeah.
And there are physical things and there are dangers and realities. But that's what I like about you, is because you can get real heady in your conversation. Yet you work with the body.
Yeah.
Like, it's you and that's the thing. Oh, I wanted to mention this earlier. Like, master swordsmen, part of their practice was to write calligraphy.
Really?
Because because poetry and the art of writing works with your mind, mm-hmm. while the art of working with the sword works with your body.
Yeah. Which in turn works with your mind. I mean,
they play off each other.
There's tons of studies coming out now. Like, if you exercise, you'll get good grades. No shit. Your physiology is the home for your biology, or is for your psychology. It's so obvious. It's so simple.
I don't know about you. Like, yeah. When I study, I can't just study. I have to take many breaks throughout my day.
I can't sit
and
down.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'll do some work. Don't get me wrong. But if I reach an hour, I'm at that hour. I'm like, oh. Damn, it's time to get outside and skate for a little bit or roll around or do something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Well, even right now, like, us sitting here on the floor, this is great. My low back's starting to be a little bit like, bro, can you, like, you know, do some hip rotation stuff? Because I'm still dealing with the adaptations of that life that I was in. But it's like, I can't sit in my classes. I stand in all of my classes. Either that or I squat in my chair.
Yeah.
It's, you can't do that to your body. Your body is an animal. You live inside of an animal. You gotta listen to it.
That is true.
There's so much wisdom in there. So much power and information.
Speaking of so much power and information, I thought this was a great, powerful bit of information. Mm. We should probably cut it. Mm. What do you think?
What?
This episode. How are you feeling? Is there anything else we should touch on today? Because, I mean, I feel like you and I can talk forever.
Yeah, we can.
So, I feel like this has been good introductory material. What do you think?
Yeah, it
is. What else did we miss?
Well, I mean, we can go in any direction. There's a lot of principles for optimizing the body. There's a lot of things to contemplate on how you can be more sensual and receptive. And having a time to express yourself where you can pour your heart out and be non-analytical. I'm just recapping the chakras right here and what I said in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the most important thing, and I mean most important, quote-unquote, is to enjoy yourself. Right here, in the moment, generate those good feelings of gratitude. And you can think good thoughts. You can be like, I love myself. I'm so beautiful. I'm the light of the universe. But if you don't feel it, no one else can feel it. So who you are is always coming through. The energy you put out is the energy that you put out. The emotions that you're feeling in your body, people can perceive them when they're standing next to you. So do you enjoy yourself? How can you allow yourself to enjoy yourself more? And what do you need to do before you die in order to die complete? Who do you need to become before you die in order to die complete? Well, what does this mean to you?
Some definitely soul-searching questions. I think everyone should answer.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do anything unless it's for love. Don't do it because you think it's what you're supposed to do.
No, know what you're supposed to do.
What you're supposed to do is what feels right to you. Don't let other people impress upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You are you, they are they.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to say us versus them mentality, but before you can help anyone, you got to help yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't fake it. You can't pretend to care about people and then try to care about people, because it's not right. It's incongruent. It's incoherent. If you're incoherent, the space around you is probably going to be incoherent. But now I'm just going to rehash exactly what I said. Enjoy yourself. And then look at the world around you as a direct reflection of yourself. Look at your body as a direct reflection of your mind. And
yeah, I mean, there's a saying like, messy room, messy mind. You know, if you have a
good way to put it.
If you have, you know, clutter around your house, it's probably because there's a lot of thoughts in your head that you haven't dealt with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Extend that to your outer world.
Mm-hmm.
Extend that to your business life.
Mm-hmm.
Extend that to your social interactions.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it.
This is powerful. I'm just kind of sitting in that, because while I'm the person that's saying these things, you're the person that's saying these things, at the same time, I'm listening to myself.
Well, that's because we're both sitting here with our integrity.
Yeah.
And one thing I heard is you don't always have to be the presenter, but if you're bearing witness and you're sharing presence and you maintain your own integrity, it's as if you're the person talking.
Yeah. Bearing witness, that's so important. Holding space and being a witness for other people, actually consciously being aware and practicing the art of non-judgment and unconditional love. So we can talk briefly about what is meditation, what is being mindful. It's a time where you modulate your attention span, which is where your energy is, or at least most of it is. And then you're cultivating your breath, which is allowing your body to go through its metabolic cycles of either being upregulated in a sympathetic state or downregulated in a parasympathetic state. And then you're controlling the mind. We're not trying to silence all the thoughts. We're just trying to project unconditional love. And no judgment. Just a pure unconditional love. Which actually kind of gets to how you guys can find me a little bit, because I do have a little bit of stuff online. I have a YouTube channel called Project Unconditional Love, which is also Project Unconditional Love, either one. And that one, I'm kind of cultivating the soil right now. Right now, it's pretty much just like a little personal video blog for me, where I'm in different places and I have thoughts that I really want to get out there for myself and for others. I'll put it up. It's, you know, for later on in the future when I look back, I have this nice video log of all the places that I've been, because there's some really beautiful heavenly shots on there. But at the same time, they're everything we've been talking about, which are just ideas for living better. And there's a plethora of it out there. I'm just contributing my energy to it as well, because that's what I'm here for.
The more messengers, the faster the message gets spread.
Exactly. The more normalized it is. Because to some people listening to this, they're filled up. They're filled up with light. They're just like, yeah, let's go do dope shit. Let's do it. You'll know when you're there, because you almost can't listen to it anymore. You're just like, I've got it. And there's other people that'll find this and they'll be like, I don't know what it was about that conversation, but it's like it left something with me. We breathe a little bit of life into you. I produce music under Jay Hosanna. You can look me up on SoundCloud or on Facebook. Aeonic Ovations comes out on Christmas. I've had a little bit of some setbacks. My computer actually got soaked in water. I gave a performance. I got amazing feedback, and it got soaked in water. But it's still running. I just don't have all the processing speed.
I learned a tip. I got this game. It's called How to Survive the Worst Case Scenario Game. And the tip was, if you spill liquid on your computer, lick your finger, run it over the affected area, and then I think you let it dry. And then you soak it up with like a paper towel.
Yeah.
But I guess it's the enzymes draw that liquid out.
Interesting.
Something like that. Yeah. For anyone who listened to my podcast 4 days ago, it's on that episode.
I haven't heard that. I just put in rice. I was heated though. I was really pissed off because
for sure. It's a terrible, terrible event.
Really working on this. Because while I do have my company, which is Autonomous Somatic Arts and Architecture, I do have a Facebook page, but there's nothing really on there. It's, you know, I have my clients I work with, but I don't have any business infrastructure set up for it yet. You know, I'm here to work with people and bring that message to them and optimize the body, but I can reach so many more people with music because, you know, intention one, it bumps hard. I'm making the floor shake. What I love about our generation, everyone loves bass music.
I love bass.
Or at least most people. I'd say like 99% of the people my age, younger and older, that I've met, you know, like maybe mid-30s down, they're like, yeah, bass music is rad. I love it, man.
It speaks to the body.
Yeah, because you can feel it, and it's omnipresent. It's omniscient. Bass is non-localized.
You could be floating, suspended somehow in air.
Yeah.
And you would feel the bass.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, my music makes the floor shake, and I'm spitting real shit, which I guess I could lay down the intro to the album, which is Dusk. I love saying it as spoken word. And I feel like it really kind of sets the tone for everything that is my album.
Are you saying you want to?
Yeah, I'll do
okay,
that.
So just so you know, two of the things that Jeremiah has spoken on today have been lyrics from his music.
Yeah.
And so you guys have all gotten sneak peeks of the art to come.
Yeah.
And so this is off of, this is Dust or
this is Dusk.
Dusk.
So the motif of the album is Dusk. And then the middle song is Midnight on the Mountaintop. And then there's Dawn, which is the last song. So it's because all the parties start at night, right?
Right.
That's when things really get down. Welcome to my space. This is a reflection of me. And everything you hear was designed intentionally, perfectly representing that which I wish to convey, which is to do dope shit every single day. Hello, fellow hominids. My name is Jay Hosanna, and I'm here to ask you a few questions, make the floor shake, and spit some real shit, and this will simultaneously serve as an introduction to my existence. Meditate on what I say. The medicine hits much faster that way. Let's begin with what do you need to manifest into reality, because it's the 21st century, and up until this moment, our species has been unknowingly controlled by the power of our mentality, unintentionally doing things just to make money. Socioeconomics seems rather funny that an eternity is calling our name, so we need every brain to coherently bring themselves into alignment with the integrity of the mind. Because you can hold space and release entropy from the life of anyone that catches your eyes. You will heal them by projecting unconditional love for the miracle that is us in this moment. You know you are so much more than you can comprehend, so fucking show it. And welcome to my space. This is a reflection of me, and everything you hear was designed intentionally, perfectly representing that which I wish to convey, which is to do dope shit every single day. And up until this point in my life, I have died quite a few times in order to become the person that I am today. A spiritual gangster who's calling on humanity to get off its knees and dance. You have this ability to express yourself. Why not say that you can? Why not go jump into the ocean? Yes, it's cold, but just for a moment. And when your world opens, life will show you what was hidden in front of your eyes this whole damn time behind that fucking consumer comfort coma. That shit'll swallow you whole. And it is not worth dying without becoming who you know you really are in the depths of your heart. That energy is the essence of your soul, but it'll take work to refine it into something you can show and be proud of. I didn't compose and produce this all overnight. I've spent a long time meditating on what I could not yet see, and you can do this too. I'm almost no different than you. So begin and be relentless, tender but aggressive. Embody the infinite bliss of existence. Welcome to my aeonic ovations.
Oof.
Thank you.
Oh man, you guys heard it here first. That's Dusk off of Aeonic Ovations. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, so much more than just a bullfrog.
Thank you. Yeah,
no, for sure.
I got an interesting comment today. I showed it to one of my classmates. Yeah. It was just like a straight G, but he has some subwoofers in his car. And he was explaining my music to one of his friends. He was like, dude, this is, it's rap, but it's beyond that, man. It's like shit you have to listen to. I was just cracking up because... that's, you know, been a huge part of me that's changed.
Well, what I really like is, like, rap used to just be, like, a stereotype. There's only really, like, one way to do it.
Yeah.
But people like you have seen the merit and, like, the art form of rap and put your own personality in it.
Yeah.
With the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
And the bass.
For sure, for sure. But it doesn't have to be bitches and hoes and guns.
No.
And making money and not giving a fuck. No, it could very much be giving tons of fucks.
Dope shit.
Dope shit every single day.
Yeah, every single day. I would much rather just like Nako give you some medicine. I'd rather hold down a highly energetic space with tons of bass, but at the same time you're like, yeah, this is something I can sing along to and feel like a fucking badass and not be like, oh, I shouldn't play this around my parents because they're going to be like, what the fuck are you listening to?
Right.
Like, nah, mom, come here. You got to get on this next level shit.
You need to listen to this. This is uplifting. This is going to make you a whole new person.
Hell yeah.
Spend some time with me and I guarantee it's worth it.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. We're here to inspire people to become the strongest versions of themselves.
Absolutely.
That's Elliot Hulse, who was mentored by Paul Check. I mentioned Paul Check in the beginning of the podcast. Elliot Hulse is on YouTube. I'm wearing his Strength Camp bracelet right now. Really one of the dudes helped me get to the place where I am today.
Rad. All right. I know you got to go somewhere.
Yeah, I got a client.
You have a client. I have to go get ready for class. I'm doing some vocals tonight as well. So.
Oh, what vocals?
Well, I'll tell you in a second.
For sure.
So, yeah, everyone, I really hope you gained some knowledge. And if not, enjoyed our presence. But I guarantee you, even if you didn't pick up on it now, that's going to speak to your subconscious for sure.
Yeah.
It's my buddy Jeremiah. I'm going to post some of the shit, his YouTube, for sure. What was your SoundCloud?
It's J Hosanna, which Hosanna spelled with two N's. J Hosanna. You literally just search that up. And J is J-E. J Hosanna.
Okay. I'll make sure to get it from you, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know I just wrote it down incorrectly.
No, it's all right.
Spitting some good words. I'm going to try to get all this stuff up. And... thank you for tuning in once again to the Positive Herpes Podcast, the show where we always spread positivity, knowledge, and passion like herpes. If you need to get a hold of me, oh, by the way, you know Joe Rogan. I stole positive herpes from him. That's one of his sayings.
That's awesome.
If you need to get a hold of me, go on to Twitter, Instagram, or Periscope. I really haven't been up doing shit, but my handle is Positive Herpes. And Facebook that, Gmail that, write me. Let me know what you think. Let me know if there's a topic you want me to research. Let me know anything. Also, if you want to support the show, you head on over to patreon.com/positiveherpes. Show some love because, I mean, this is pro bono, and I'm really not trying to bring a whole lot of sponsorship and corporations into the mix. I'm trying to keep this for me for the moment.
Keeping it real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just want to end it with one thing real quick while it's still recording. Just have gratitude for all that you can do, because you have so much, and so many of your brothers and sisters have so little in comparison, especially if you're sitting on a computer in your car driving right now. Just give gratitude, give out thanks, be grateful, because we're doing a lot of amazing things.
Absolutely. And on the note of gratitude, I really wanted to say it's been an honor being here.
Thank you.
You having me here in this area, in this space, and just giving me the time.
Yeah.
I mean, time is a huge commodity, and I really appreciate it when someone takes the time to sit down with me. Not just for this, like, even if this wasn't recording, it'd be awesome to just kick it with you.
Yeah, of course. That's what it's all about. I love people who are authentic and doing dope shit. That's what it's all about. Love it. All
and shake for the radio.
Namaste. Fell down all alone.